Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time we come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Yep.
Welcome back. Of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Tuesday, March 28th, 2023. Get to the point. Chris, get to the point. What's the point? What are you getting at? Well, we make curious choices. Like I said yesterday, you know, sort of in response to Layla's question from the end of last week, I'm not sure what you're saying. Are you saying it comes from the top down, comes from the bottom up? Gary Allen wrote about that in None Dare Call a Conspiracy, the pincer attack from the top and the bottom. And so it's both, as he wrote. And we, you know, the point, though, that I want to sort of emphasize from yesterday and today is we are co-conspirators far too often, more often than we would be comfortable admitting. So the technology example is, you know, the technology example that I mentioned in at the end of the first hour today. And I've talked about it before, obviously. It is not something that will be familiar to most people. I realize that. But it's just a way of shedding light on, in you know, some little way perhaps, a corner of how things are happening that most people are not aware of. And, you know, hopefully even the peak, as little as it makes sense maybe to some people, will help kind of throw the door open a little wider to maybe look into things that, you know, maybe we'll be more aware, maybe a little more pattern recognition. Oh, that looks like this or that. Some other examples, speaking of Lee Fang's article, 2016 article, the CIA is investing in firms that mine your tweets and Instagram photos. That's a misleading headline, because it's not just that, it's everything. And I'm going to get to the example that I was getting at the end of the first hour. So, you know, Docker, obviously, like I said, Docker is a tool that this is the list. I'm looking at the list from Lee Fang's article, unpublicized in Qtel portfolio companies. I presume if you're listening to this broadcast, you know what in Qtel is. I've done broadcasts previously where we looked years ago, obviously, because it's been sort of hidden now. But if you go to IQT.org, that's in Qtel's official public-facing site, and they used to brag on the home page that for a while anyway, actually I think it was an interior page, never mind, but there was a page that and in Qtel is WordPress, by the way. The IQT.org site is WordPress. So I don't know, maybe that means something, maybe it doesn't, but the site used to boast that, when I first started talking about this, the boast was that for every $9, or excuse me, for every dollar invested in something, a company, for example, by Qtel, it brings $9 of venture capital in tow. And then it was $11 at one point when I was talking about this. And then that sort of disappeared from the page that I was citing anyway. So who knows what it is now. And the point is, you know, that is a rudder for technological innovation, which was also spoken to. So if you have an idea and, you know, naturally you have an idea, you want it to see the light of day, you want your child to live and prosper and succeed, then if venture capital is going to give you a good jump start and everybody's following Reid Hoffman's advice that we need to get to minimum viable product and iterate, then at some point you're going to bump into Incutel. In fact, you know, Aman and I talked about Incutel and how he was familiar with Incutel from his, you know, the companies he was involved with. It's Incutel is inescapable. And if it's not Incutel, it's degrees of separation, perhaps, you know, ostensibly like Sequoia or whatever. So this tractor beam is virtually inescapable. It's very difficult to get away from. So these companies, what is the benefit, especially for the open source stuff like Docker? You know, and there are others. Dataminer is another big one. What's the one that I was thinking of that's on the list? Mapbox is another one. Design and publish visual data-rich maps. That's an Incutel investment. Mapbox is everywhere. It's been used for years, and I think that Peter Thiel and Palantir are also involved in some of these, which is no surprise. Remember, Peter Thiel is the guy who at Clarium gave Facebook its first $500,000 in seed capital. Wink, wink. So I should get back to that article that really shocked me the other day. What was that headline? Oh, it's the Intercept article by Ryan Grimm. The death of Peter Thiel's kept romantic partner is being investigated as a suicide. Miami police plan to interview Thiel as part of a probe into the sudden death of Jeff Thomas, a model and social media influencer, sources said. Interesting. A couple other things that I was going to mention, you know, Mike Giglio's article over at The Intercept, what it means for Trump's campaign to start in Waco, holding his first rally near the site of an infamous federal raid could be seen as a coded message to those on the extreme. Speaking of subtext and meta and all of that kind of stuff. And Jeremy Scahill's latest article about Nord Stream, Russia calls for a UN investigation of Nord Stream attack. Moscow claims Germany, Denmark, and Sweden are engaged in U.S.-backed cover-up as the war to control the narrative and the evidence intensifies. It was The Hill that sort of ridiculed the New York Times article that said, you know, that mentioned what about non-state actors, basically. And it's interesting, there's a sort of target fixation in the optics of the Nord Stream discussion. No matter where you look, it seems that the fixation is on so-called state actors. And I would argue that who should really be looked at is the so-called non-state actors. Remember, intelligence has been largely, predominantly outsourced for at least 15 years, at least since R.J. Hillhouse wrote her book, Outsourced, and Tim Shorrock wrote, you know, along similar lines the following year. That was 2007 and 2008, respectively, I believe. And so, you know, ever since, I mean, that was what the whole point of what they were saying was, you know, intelligence is outsourced predominantly, and it's been that way for, you know, in the big tech era, you know, what was the Oracle thing? Speaking of that, what did I see recently? Again, not to drift off, but I forget, but remember when Larry Ellison, I mean, he's bragged several times about how Oracle's first client was the CIA. And there's something else that I saw recently that's Oracle, you know, CIA technology. And I mentioned, as I was discussing this recently, you know, last November, what about TikTok's latest suitors, Oracle, close friend of CIA, NSA? Everywhere you look, there is the, you know, the tentacles that spread out and are into all of these things. So who has the intelligence capability to conduct an operation like Nord Stream? Well, somebody like Palantir. And who has the, you know, if the Palantirs and the Blackwaters, you know, Z Academy, whatever, if they team up like they have, you know, if the Kofor Blacks and the Peter Thiels team up, then that's Nord Stream in a nutshell. In a way that is, you know, completely off the books. And who benefits from that? Well, the green economy, the CREO, or the CREO syndicate, right? Those folks. And you keep hearing the rumblings of CBDC stuff. There was a China Daily article I saw today. China Daily, an unregulated, basically a Western-based central bank digital currency is the answer to the financial problems the world is facing. You're seeing these kinds of things filter out everywhere. And so that obviously is linked directly with the CREO syndicate types and this new green economy that's been brought online. That's not fully enacted yet, but it's being brought online next to the legacy, you know, Bretton Woods Marshall Plan system that we got to replace, that the World Economic Forum, the same people. Remember I mentioned the Palantir office in Davos. Go watch some of the footage, you know, the interviews, the man on the street interviews of folks in Davos, and see as they're walking to whatever meeting they're going to, the giant Palantir sign as they're walking down the road there in Davos. Why is Palantir in Davos and Saudi Arabia and? So, the example that I was going to give, all of that is sort of subtext to the example. So, you know, everywhere you look, there is this effort. I mean, the big tech companies buying GitHub and Linux systems and. What is the benefit? It's all that data. So let's say, let's make a visual analogy here real quick. With all of the backdoor stuff that I'm talking about, like if you use Docker, you're inviting InQtel, CIA, NSA into whatever you build, your app, your website, whatever. Same with all these other tools, you know. Again, you know, it's interesting. We're supposed to be afraid of China and the CCP, but how much of our technology, how much of the goods and services we buy and things, you know, we don't have a problem. We have this really weird cognitive dissonance going on. And at the same time, you know, they're winning the race on AI or whatever, and so we have to be evil faster and better. It's all ridiculous. Anyway, this Gizmodo article, I think, kind of sums it up. Like I said, TikTok's latest suitor is Oracle, a company with close ties to CIA and NSA, and that's an understatement. Matt Novak's 2020 article. And with a picture of Larry Ellison. Larry Ellison delivers a keynote address during the 2014 Oracle Open World Conference on September 28, 2014, in San Francisco. Didn't Larry Ellison buy an island in Hawaii? Does he live on an island? So this article says Oracle is an odd suitor if you know anything about the company's history. Larry Ellison created Oracle in 1977 as a CIA-backed project. And there's a link to a previous Gizmodo article. Larry Ellison's Oracle started as a CIA project. And, you know, this is not a secret. This is something that Larry Ellison has bragged about, again, many times. More and more we see this happening. Anyway, let me just give you this analogy, and I'll quit with all of this stuff. You sign on to Facebook. You think that, you know, the stuff that the private messages and things or whatever are just that, they're private. You know, in other words, they're just being sent between you and the person they're being sent to. And if you have been a person who runs, you know, any kind of web hosting management or anything, if you've ever built your own site and you manage your own technology stack or anything like that, you know that those things can be looked in on. Someone somewhere has the ability to look at all of that, because the code is managed somewhere by someone. It's not just something. I think this gets to at least part of Jaron Lanier's point when he talks about the Oracle illusion. We have this idea that when you sign onto these platforms, well, you know, nobody can see this. And I go back to that 2009, you know, another czar in the Obama White House, May 29, 2009, the day that the Obama White House announced the cybersecurity initiative, James Lewis, Paula Light, John Arquilla, Tom Kellerman, on with Warren Olney, which was weird. And the remark, the Maginot Line remark, John Arquilla said, I think the biggest problem that we have is we have a Maginot Line mentality. We believe in things like firewalls. And my master hacker friends say, that's what he said, there are no such thing as firewalls. They only recognize what they already know, and really, really good hackers get right through them like you'd walk right through an open room. Not door, room. And they talked about layers of security. Layers of an onion kind of thing. Can we bake in more layers of the onion rather than believe that, you know, in the fallacy of the Maginot Line, the fortification of the Maginot Line. These back doors are everywhere intentionally. Anyway, I'll finish that when I come back, or when we come back. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Okay, in simple terms, we'll go to the phones in a second. What is the point of all of this before I get back to the other stuff? You know, the chaos magic and the shaping and creating of reality and, you know, the future and all of that. The point in simple terms is total information awareness equals full spectrum dominance in a military sort of context. And those who will say, well, that can't be what's going on, really? Well, then why is the intelligence community publicly involved in everything high tech? I mean, it's not just the companies that are on Li Fang's list. It's everything that's built with Docker, for example, that has backdoors baked into it. And everything is built with Docker these days. Like I said, it's one of the, you know, a lot of times it's a requirement. If you're going to be hired somewhere, do you use Docker? Do you know how to use Docker? And you're baking in backdoors on everything you build. Total information. Remember the Information Awareness Office, the pyramid, and the all-seeing eye, the Eye of Providence? Yeah. that's a whole nother discussion. You know, the eye looking at the world, the globe, DARPA's information award, is that too soon? So we were shocked by that, and then we sort of forgot about it, and now it's been happening ever since then, de facto, piece by piece, the end run. Remember, what's his name? Richard N. Gardner, 1974, Foreign Affairs, Hard Road to World Order, CFR article. An end run will accomplish, you know, the old-fashioned frontal assault. Nah, it's outmoded. We're going to do it piece by piece. That's what was admitted by these kinds of types, and that's what we see happening with these kinds of things. It's not just in this arena. So total information awareness equals full spectrum dominance. And if it's not that, then why are we so concerned about techno-fascism? Why are we so concerned about the market state, market security state, market cybersecurity state? Why are we so concerned? For obvious and legitimate reasons, that's why. And that's what it is. Total information awareness equals full spectrum dominance. It's to know where, you know, everything is, where their fortifications are, to know their habits and proclivities better than they know them themselves. Remember, we played the clip of Harari saying the algorithm just need to know you a little better than you know yourself. What better way than to be into all of the social media and behind the firewall of everything? If you know your enemies and you know yourself, you will not be imperiled in 100 battles. And the acme of skill is to subdue the enemy without fighting. Enemy doesn't even know that there's an enemy in camp. Most people have no idea this is happening. I think it really starts to get scary when you really understand. I mean, we have a society that is built on leaning into this kind of stuff, not just in technology, psychologically, IQ tests and personality assessment systems and, you know, Myers-Briggs and, you know, all of those kinds of tests. Most people don't realize those all have military and intelligence connections. And from the beginning, they have. And, you know, an effort to understand you in order to control and manipulate you. And again, that's where the technology coalesces with these efforts. Aaron and Melissa Dykes have talked about that. They've been saying hello very loudly for a long time. I think they're one of the loudest voices, you know, not necessarily directly shouting, but shouting very loudly nonetheless. The minds of men is one of the clearest cases for that. So when you understand, well, again, just to finish the point, you know, if you've ever done any sort of server management or stack management or anything, you know that people who think that they're doing something in a private space, all of that is available, all of that code, all of the database stuff. And obviously with big platforms like Facebook, for example, it's not available to everyone, obviously, but that gives plausible deniability. It's available to someone. And when you start thinking in terms of thin thread or X key score or things like that, it should make your hair stand on end. That's probably why Jaron Lanier doesn't have social media accounts. Just saying. We'll be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house, or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle, or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Welcome back. Let's dive in real quick and get to the phones here in a second. Final point on this. Hopefully, you know, I'm not beating this to death, but Vance Packard reminds us in The Hidden Persuaders in Chapter 2, The Trouble with People, the nose counters. Under nose counting, statistic-minded interviewers would determine the percentage of blah, 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 and they ask these questions. The trouble with this approach they found was that people might tell interviewers people might tell interviewers had only a remote bearing on how the people would actually behave in a buying situation when confronted with, et cetera, et cetera. So they open the chapter, Vance Packard opens the chapter with the quote from Advertising Age: in very few instances do people really know what they want, even when they say they do, or I would say especially when they say they do. So what are the Jungian depth researchers to do? Well, enter social media. Imagine if you had unrestrained access to, you know, observe people in the wild in their natural habitat, undetected. Massive volumes of data. If you understand how, you know, Myers-Briggs and the other personality assessment tests go, they feed on data. More and more data means you can tell more about a person. Enter Michael Kaczynski's work and psychometrics, which is an old field. Kaczynski, is he still at the Psychometric Center? I don't know. But remember the article, The Data That Turned the World Upside Down? right after the 2016 election that has since sort of vanished to the depths of the memory hole, to some extent anyway, I would say. People don't understand what they're reading when they read that. What you're reading is that long-standing desire of, let's call it the intelligence community, to understand everyone entirely. To know everything about you, every proclivity and habit. You can see this come out in shows like, you know, Watch the Rabbit Hole and the company that Kiefer Sutherland's character used to work for. Their, you know, boast now is that they build out more last year than Palantir. So if the depth researchers could observe you in your natural habitat undetected, then like Harari said, the algorithms only need to know you a little better than you know yourself, and they have access to unlimited volumes of data about you. Kaczynski's work seems to indicate that with just a few hundred likes on things, not posts, likes, because of the way that it correlates to the personality assessment systems that have been developed, he could tell more about a person than they know about themselves. And from a military standpoint, I'm not so concerned about the CCP as I am the efforts and interests closer to home, if you know what I mean. And Noam Chomsky's point about projecting force, I don't think, ends with kinetic. I'll leave it at that. Let's go to the phones and grab Tom in Utah. Tom, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi, Chris. This is kind of serious. My life kind of validates what you're talking about. In the school year of 1957-58, I was approached by the RAND, or recruited by the RAND Corporation, because I was a Mensa candidate. And I ended up working for them proudly, you know, in that mindset of that time. I was proudly working for the RAND Corporation, but not realizing its whole, what do you call it, motive. Anyway, so I ended up working in electronics as well, and that helped to pay for my education in pathology. So I went down both those pathways.
Did you happen to bump into Ray Kurzweil or John von Neumann or anyway, just kidding?
Oh, that's 60 years ago, so who knows?
Yeah.
But what's really interesting is, I had to learn binary, Fortran, COBOL, real-time BASIC.
Yeah. You know,
and then ultimately we came up to Composer. Now, that's what I wanted to ask you about. Do you know anything about Composer? That was the first publishing program that I utilized.
Well, which Composer? Because now there's, now there's another composer. I'm being a little facetious, but I don't know much about that composer.
Yeah. Anyway, what about Weebly, or what about, you're talking about WordPress. WordPress, as I understand, is really clumsy.
Well, WordPress is easy to deploy, not to get off on that tangent, but it's easy to deploy, but, you know, It has its own problems with data leakage, shall we say. And Weebly is a platform like so many of the others. I mean, there's, you know, that's an obvious, I think, you know, you should, if you are suspicious of the things that I mentioned, you know, speaking of data and metadata leakage, then Weebly and Wix and Squarespace and all of those kinds of platforms obviously are a stack maintained by somebody somewhere. And what do they benefit from giving millions and millions of sites free?
I didn't even think about the backdoor capability of using those programs.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not terribly, you know, if there's nothing terribly compromising going on in the site, then it's probably not a big deal. It's just something to think about, be aware of, I suppose.
Yeah, in fact, I just got off the phone with my provider, trying to figure out the dates that I first utilized their platforms. Anyway, if you go into lifesave.org, that was one of the first pages that I ever published back in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now that you're bringing this issue up, I'm wondering how much leakage there is or how much risk.
The other thing that I've mentioned before that I think people should be aware of is, as anyone who uses WordPress knows, I mean, there's the auto update capability that WordPress has. If a library or a stack gets compromised and you auto update and consume the whatever the compromise is, that's a problem. But once you're addicted, then you're in, and it's most people are not, I think, savvy enough. Like if they say, you know what, this is going too far, I don't like the direction this stack is going. Most people are not, it's not easy for them to maybe rip a copy of the dynamic site and just do, you know, copy it as static HTML pages and, you know, post those and maybe do, you know, post that as the previous version of the site, and then, you know, all the new content goes in something else. I mean, large platforms do that sometimes, but I mean, that's not really difficult to do. Most people just are not aware of how to do it. So speaking of Composer, the Composer I'm familiar with is the PHP
right.
Dependency Manager, which is the same kind of discussion, you know, as I was having with Docker. So,
well, you know, my worry has been, as I published those long ago, and you worry about how to say this whole program and becoming obsolete and not readable, kind of like when you mentioned Fortran.
Well, and that's a real conversation, because in the open source community, especially with WordPress and that kind of stuff, you know, there are all of these. I mean, you have the LAMP stack basically as the foundation of a WordPress installation, typically, which is, you know, LAMP is an acronym for Linux, Apache, MySQL, and PHP. And those are moving parts. Those are libraries that are constantly being updated. And, you know, maybe we could dive down the more cynical and sinister reasons why. But let's just take it at face value and say, well, there are improvements that are being made and security vulnerabilities that are being patched and things like that. Those pieces are being updated and are changing and moving parts. And so eventually you get to a point where PHP 5 is legacy and not supported. They call it EOL, end of life. For the listener, I know you know this, but now we're to a point where it's weird, you know, literally – that's sort of an analogy, but literally there's this weird kind of moment where PHP 7 is legacy, but everyone's still using it. And PHP 8 is the thing now, but no one's really fully on board. And so how do you navigate that? And you get sort of sucked into this scope creep and you know, platform creep, where if you're using WordPress, you're sort of at the mercy of wherever the maintainers of WordPress decide to take it.
Right.
Versus if you're, you know, if your site is like Jaron Lanier's, where it's just static HTML, then you don't care. Does the server propagate? Great. I'm going to stick my HTML on it. Perfect. Done.
Yeah, so, see, I worry. So I tell my friends, make sure you print out a hard copy of everything you publish, because, you know, 30 years later, it may not be there at all, or it may not be readable because of the code.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you can make legitimate arguments. People, you know, I mean, what's happening now literally is, like, if there's a site that was somebody put up, you know, somebody who passed away. I mean, we've had lots of people. I've mentioned folks like Joan Vion or, you know, Ralph Winterode or whomever. Let's say there's a site that they put up, one of them put up, and somebody's just keeping that up, and it was built on a CMS like WordPress, and at some point the server admin says, we can't maintain this this library, this, you know, version of PHP, for example. And this is literally happening. And it's not just PHP. It's much bigger than that. So they say, we can't maintain it. And so the site either has to be, it has to have a major upgrade, or it has to come down.
What about archive.org? What do you know about them?
Not much. But, you know, it's a massive repository.
Yeah, a lot of my publishing has disappeared from the web. Theoretically, it should be findable on the archives.
Should be. Somebody has a copy of it somewhere. The rest of us may or may not be able to see it. Maybe it's in a bunker in Utah.
Could be.
Yeah.
It's down the road from me.
I think that more and more things are being gated off, even on the Internet Archive, in my, you know, anecdotal observation. You have to log in, or that disappeared, or whatever. Looking for authentication.
That's my worry. Some things I've published, I haven't been wise enough to put a hard copy in the steel file.
Yeah. Well, my advice, you know, for people who are concerned about what you are, you know, talking about, is there are ways to automate creating HTML copies of stuff, and why not do that and have an HTML backup copy of things just in case of every page? That's pretty easy to automate. Maybe we should do a show on that.
Yeah, I notice sometimes even your typeset changes when you go back and look at it. Say, what happened? Was the support for that particular code disappeared? What's going on?
Maybe it was in it was not an embedded font. Maybe it was a library that was called from somewhere and that link changed, or, you know, support for that font library changed or something. Probably.
Yeah. Anyway, it's been kind of fun listening to you today, because I realize this is important. If you have,
it's extremely important. Yeah.
So you're not even safe from snooping.
No.
Especially when I realize, wait a minute, who was my first employer? The Rand Corporation. What is their business?
Yeah. The bundlers, the package managers, what are they sneaking in there? That is, you know, leaking data, essentially, and spying by, you know, tacitly, but, you know, we're complicit in allowing that using these tools, but they're super convenient. How else are you supposed to manage all of these dependencies and bundle things up? The complexity is intended to be, you know, misleading, I think. Anyway, we got several other folks we got to get to.
Okay.
I appreciate it, Tom.
When you get bored, look at tominutah.com.org.us.
Okay.
I have them redirect. Keep an eye on my code.
Will do. Thank you, Tom. Much appreciated, as always. Back to the phones in the interest of time. Patrick in Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, he's Rand, Palantir, DARPA, InQtel, Univ 1800, Talpiot Project. It all, they control it all.
Yeah.
It's, you know, they're central, like they're one world court in Jerusalem, that they're, you know they run their League of Nations. And, we're playing in their sandbox. I contend that we should think about things like, interview a child, if he does too much internet in the playing games, but he loses his internal muscle of visualization. Mm-hmm. And that's incredibly important because he's like, you know, like what did Luke Skywalker do when he wanted to get strong and take on Darth Vader? He went into the forest and got away from all of that crap. And he's like a shaman. You know, you see, there's nothing there. There absolutely is. You know, there's I'm reading about this top scientist, Tom Beard, who rewrote electrodynamics. And they were just like, they will pick up a radar, the space shuttle taking off. They can remember that trace. It's a memory. They will pump up a capacitor, a large capacitor, and pump up the neurons in that, and they'll shoot that signal that they want as a target into that pumped up capacitor, and it will fire off 100 megawatt light torpedo and take out that thing. That's the technology, and it's all about neurons, and the whole universe, you know, is connected by these neurons. It's called a field, and you can like this one scientist said, you can transmutate materials. You can reverse time. Your psychic power, your anti-gravity, it's all there. For God's sakes, you know, this world is your apple. Take a bite out of it. That's the technology that's there, but they don't want us to do that. It's not being taught in any university. It's Tesla technology versus Einstein. But, you know, I'm just saying, we need to, instead of going in that direction, being, you know, falling into their technological, you know, idolatry there, we need to understand there's an alternative. There's just like a boy with a super incredible brain. You know, he could transcribe pi, you know, for like hours. You know, and how's he doing that? Well, he's not doing it, you know, consciously. He's tapping into something there. You know, that's well known. And it's like I said, we shouldn't be worshiping these devices. They may be time savers and all, but there's a cost. You're playing in their sandbox. I'll let you go.
That's an excellent point. Absolutely. Yep. All about convenience. Skype has the Bing bot now. I haven't mentioned that, but maybe we'll mention that tomorrow. Back to the phones. Mike in Kentucky, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Well, there's a few keywords that you haven't mentioned yet, but there's also some interesting perspectives that I've ran across that I'm reposted. Was going to repost today as a memory, mm-hmm. but like Tom in Utah, I kind of had the opposite situation in that I tried to dive in and take a computer science math curriculum for a brand-new degree that they offered at a local university, and I had to come to terms with the idea that I just couldn't handle the math and the Puzzle Palace type languages. I had Fortran, I had Basic I could handle, but the people I was surrounded by couldn't handle it either. Some of the people I was in school with hacked things that were unhackable, and this was prior to the PC format and Bill Gates' family buying him DOS, so he could try to get that as a, you know, more of a standardized thing. And
what happened to Gary Kildall anyway? Just kidding.
I don't know, but hashtag X key score. Little, if I could say that right, X key score. Hashtag Ant catalog. And my sources, because of my local phone problems, and I demonstrated it on the air, I had people come by and come up with a term called hook bypass switch. And then another source was involved in helping tweak the heavy foreign accents, Eastern European accents, in the late 60s for speech to text, way back.
Yeah, I remember
you
talking about that.
Right.
And that is that a Bell Lab thing? Because I know the Bell Lab was probably.
I wasn't going to give a source on that, but no, it was not. It was probably, I'm not going to say, but I really don't want to jeopardize people. I have several sources that are aged and have different health issues, so they could be taken out and nobody would question it.
Yeah.
But trying to get lawyers that are willing to do something about this and try to throw a wrench in the works, it's about impossible. They're all scared bleepless or something. But or they're going along with it because they're part of the establishment. But the same intelligence community that is making you're the right hate one whistleblower, and the the left wing despises Assange, and the right wing despises Snowden. This is we're they're all engaged in a lot of damage control, and there are a lot of information overload. I think William Binney is right about that, but I don't know what to think about him either, because
Assange was extradited. My understanding is Snowden is a free man. Well, kept, but free.
But Assange is still not extradited to the U.S., I don't believe.
Where is
he? Still,
Proof of life? Anyone?
We would like to know. We would like to know that. But the kangaroo courts, it's ridiculous, because I've been blown off by several people. William Binney and his lawyer out of Pennsylvania blew me off. I was offered to help with evidence and proof of damage. Electronic Frontier Foundation had a judge tell them that. We're not going to, the government's never going to recognize this evidence you've entered, and yet they're doing the same thing to indict Snowden in another federal district, evidence. So, it's really a kangaroo court's clown world or something, because the Electronic Frontier Foundation was told, well, you can't do anything about this unless you can prove damage from the government's Section 702 activity. I actually committed a crime and didn't know it when I disclosed the content of private phone conversations or the room audio.
We got one more call we need to get to real quick. I apologize.
All right, man.
I'm trying to cram them in.
Check my profile and Michael Williamson or Williamson Michael on Facebook, and I've got those hashtags will show up. Hashtag XKeyScore, hashtag AntCatalog.
Thanks, Mike. Much appreciated as always. Glenn in Philly. Thanks for calling. Welcome.
But I did think it was interesting that you were correlating.
Hey, last word, man.
Yeah, a couple minutes is good. I thought it was interesting you were correlating total information awareness and full spectrum dominance with psych testing. And so I was taking a little look at your Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory results.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
It says that, while you do sometimes have black and tarry stools, you nonetheless love your mother. So that's good.
Yeah. We never knew these things about ourselves.
I know. I had to take an 85 for a college transfer, and everybody was saying, what in the world are these questions about black and tarry stools doing in there? Obviously, they're looking actually for GI bleed type stuff. And then back then it asked, do you love your mother? Looking for self-contradiction. And it's like, okay, strange.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, back then I remember like the teachers could learn quite a lot from that information. All right.
Yeah.
Take care.
Much appreciated, sir. I'm going to dive further down that rabbit hole tomorrow, because I'm telling you, if you really understand what Glenn was talking about there, if you understand how that works and how the data just feeds it, it's like, oh my goodness, it'll make your hair stand on end. And then, of course, there's Paul Ohm's The Failure of Anonymization, Re-Identification and De-Anonymization. It's pretty overwhelming. Anyway, I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
You can't handle handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.